recorded.
I mean, hold off on recording this?
No, record it.
Okay.
We need all the help we can get, brother. I mean, you bailed us out last week because, you know, I looked down and it had stopped. Something happened. I don't know what it was. So, yeah, let's just always get in the habit of both of us doing it and then cover thine, you know what.
That's true. Boy, that was, that would have been a great show in itself with Pete, huh?
Well, maybe we could just put we'll put Johnny at the beginning of it. I recorded it. We'll just put Johnny on it.
No.
We'd have to. Pete may not want to be on.
No.
I'm just saying. I'm not suggesting it. I was just saying it would have. You know,
it would be a good show. Pete's awesome.
You know, he comes in with a whole different perspective. Right. William Tyndale teaches the exact same thing that that Pete was telling you.
What about the land?
No, it's about clearing out your heart and getting all the evil out of your heart and allowing God to write his law in your heart. He speaks it a different way, but it's exactly the same teaching. That's where it's at. It's in the grounds of your heart.
That's the straight gate we're striving to. We're trying to endure to get there. I mean, I have moments of peace, but I can understand his conflict.
The fact that God sends the demons, I mean, I know that, but I never really thought about it the way he put it, mm-hmm. You know?
It's part of the pray not to be deceived.
Absolutely.
Chris, what do you have for current events?
Well, I just have that the economy is in the toilet.
Oh, yeah, I guess what Jimmy Geithner said.
Keynes economics doesn't work.
Keynesian. Yeah. Yes.
It took him all those college years and to figure that out.
Uh-huh.
You know, they have no clue what they're doing.
I mean, that has never worked anywhere, right? They've never had.
No.
Is that Austrian economics? Well,
the opposing dialectic to it is Austrian economics, von Mises. Austrian economics.
And what's Austrian?
That's what we used. We were under the Austrian economics format. That's what they even taught in the colleges up into the 40s when they introduced Keynesian. Von Mises was, excuse me, I'm trying to eat here. Von Mises was somewhat of a libertarian mindset. He believed in gold and silver. He believed in buying stuff after you've already earned the money. He didn't believe in credit. He didn't, you know, and this is what was taught to the colleges, you know, the 1880s, 1890s, 1900s and whatnot, until Keynesian came along from England, to rival him. I forget his first name.
I thought it was pronounced Keynes.
Maynard Keynes or something, or?
Keynes.
Maynard? Yeah.
Another.
People used to believe, you know, when I was a child growing up, you know, my dad still had the Austrian economic view. They didn't believe in buying something that they couldn't pay for it.
Yeah.
That just was kind of like our family the way it was, and my grandparents were the same way. If you can't pay for it, you don't need it. Now, did they finance a couple things? Yeah, well, I guess everybody finances their house.
And there's, but, you know, Bill, right there is the answer to all the questions. They did it in a responsible way.
Yeah.
There was no getting over the contracts,
right.
The...
Right.
And it was standardized.
Mm-hmm.
And it was local. You wouldn't go to Goldman Sachs
right.
to get
it was
your...
local, exactly. In fact, my dad came in 1950 after he got out of the service. He had saved, I think, about $2,500 with his mustering out pay and whatever. And he came to California, bought a brand new home. He got a good job. He was a machinist apprentice. Bought a new car, 1951 Buick Special, I think, or Super Buick Super. Then after he was established and everything, he lived with some friends, and he went back into New Mexico and got my mother, and then they got married. But that was the thinking process back then.
My grandfather did the same thing.
It's and now you have this is usury.
Now it's instant gratification.
It's usury on steroids.
usually on steroids, instant gratification.
But the fact that Geithner's talking about this on mainstream, that's
what I told my wife. I said, why is he saying this? Why are they allowing him to say this?
Because
that's more important than what he's saying.
Well, it's all bad.
They're letting the cat out of the bag, so how come?
Because it's going downhill fast, and the rats are jumping the ship.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working under this, but it hasn't been very good. So I'm trying to tell you that, you know, they tried to do this, but I came in after the fact.
Right, I came in after the fact.
And now after I see this, I'm going to abstain from using this system that I've been using for the past 4 years.
You know, I sure not I want to sound racist here by no means, but, you know, it's Geithner and Bernanke and Soros and
the beast that was not in
and what's the other one's name? Why are these guys all 5'2" Jews? Have you ever noticed that? Maybe 5'4", 5'5" is a tall one.
Dual citizenship. They are taking ground. This is the Edomites. You are you've just listed the top Edomites.
But
it doesn't matter. At the bottom of the pyramid, there's thousands and thousands and thousands and millions of more.
Yep.
Because they're doing it for the flesh.
Absolutely.
I'll recount a conversation I had this week with an old customer. And he was coming out and he was laid off and he was very happy to be laid off. He'd been on Wall Street for 5 years, came to Cleveland, worked for one of the big banks. And we were talking, you know, just economics. And he says, you know, look at it this way. All the people out of work, they're having a bad time. But everyone that has a job now, they're doing just fine. And the economy's running at 80%. So without 100% ramp up, we're never going to get ahead. We're going to keep falling behind.
Well, they're trying to introduce a new tax that they take out of your check. Now, obviously, it hasn't gone to committee or anything like that. It was a Democrat that proposed it, where they it's called the pay down the debt tax. So that, you know, they'd be taking money out of your check, like Social Security.
So they stole your money, and they want you to pay more.
And they want you to pay it back, right?
Now, so
they
there's,
sit around and dream up this stuff.
But this was all 1930s. You know, the bankers were running the show, and they had to have a diversion. And let's go to war.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're going to find out that we're dealing with everybody, and we're making tons of money off everybody, and we're just stealing it.
And honestly, I don't see any other way out of this but the same thing.
Then they can make money at the war, too. See?
more money.
Yeah, right, more money. They have more abundance.
Wars, rumor of wars. I mean, we're in it right now. And the economy. Chris, what do you want to go over with the economy?
Well, just what we just talked about. And the fact that the mainstream is talking about it, what are they doing? And
all right,
it's pretty bad. I mean, it's, you know, with this debt ceiling and Obama threatening, really kind of threatening martial law if the Republicans don't raise the debt ceiling.
Well, 200 well, you know, something you know Republicans.
What, you know what Buffett said, Warren Buffett?
What?
He said if they don't raise the debt ceiling, it's like playing Russian roulette. I told my wife, I said, that's true. I said, that's better than raising the debt ceiling and having, you're not even playing Russian roulette anymore. You got six bullets in all six chambers now.
Yeah.
The rope's over the beam.
Chances are better with Russian roulette.
Now, these people are storing great wealth, that was told. And they're the merchants. But on another level, I was reading that, the tribulation thing I sent out, and he's saying that the merchants are the people that are trying to spread the word. So I looked at it. I don't think.
Oh, that's not right at all.
But wait. Before, I mean, it does fall into place scripturally, and I'm not saying thus saith the Lord. I'm just saying that it's another way of looking at it. That's all. Mm-hmm. So you have one level of these, and these people are raking little old ladies.
Yep.
They're looking at things so blindly that they don't have the impact of the poor woman that's at the store that can't buy food. That her husband had, you know, worked his whole life for. So they're going after widows and children, defenseless people.
Yep.
But this was foretold. This is what's going to take place. This is the green grass being burned up.
Amen. That's for sure.
That's for sure, right.
All the green grass is burned up.
And it is, you know, we have that one, you know, look at the kingdoms. When you look historically, because we're just talking about Sodom and Egypt, well, they were overrun by Babylon. Babylon ruled the whole place. So you know Babylon is running the whole show.
Yeah.
And Egypt, Assyria, those likenesses that they're all in the mix. They're all mingled now. And then you have, of course, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And now you're run by Babylon, the whole system. But everybody's independent. These are the enemy. Those people that are storing great wealth are doing the thousand locusts that are out. Just imagine what's in them.
It's so,
unconscionable.
That's right. Bob Chapman made a prediction this week, by the way. I don't know if you guys have heard.
No, what was it?
He said that gold and silver are going to at least double in the next 6 months. Not that that means anything. I mean, he's reasonably correct.
He's been reasonably correct in almost all of his assessments.
Right. He did make that statement of a couple, 3 days ago. I heard him, so...
Well, I found that these hedge fund managers, those funds are turned into metals. And I think the problem that everybody's having is India's buying everything. So is China. So the more they paper, you know, they had a pretty good thing with the paper. You know.
Right, they get so greedy, they run that even.
Yeah, get a gold coin and then make it 50 gold coins to the investors, backed by one gold coin. Mm-hmm. But now that they're actually moving large shipments, you have the IMF actually moving tons of gold to the country. And in those maneuvers, there last year it was $1,250 was the set per ounce. But now we broke a record today. And there's going to be anticipated moves with the gold shipments. Because these countries are shoring themselves up. And China doesn't have to do that. They unleash their whole population. You know, 3 billion people that go ahead and buy gold. It's on it's their commercials. We have commercials sell your gold because these guys want to, you know, rake you.
Uh-huh.
They want to. Well, actually, Bob Chapman has a new thing out here right on, I was looking at it on Kitco. You know, Kitco, all those people think that gold and silver is going to save them. They always talk about how ignorant the populace is because they don't know what money is and how they're protected and they're going to get through all this. And one guy just, and this is their God, that's their God. And a guy just put on there, he says, it's not Herbert Hoover or anybody who's going to save you. He says, the only person that is going to save you is Jesus Christ.
And he just hit it on the head.
Yeah. Boy, what an unusual post that is on Kitco.
Yeah. I mean, oh, they do. They do like, think that they're...
Yeah, they think that they're so smart because they've saved bullets, food, and gold. And not that it's wise to have some of that stuff. But their hearts are out of their mouth comes the abundance of the heart, it says.
These are the old carpetbaggers, these people. They're with absolutely no ethics, yeah. No nothing. They don't care that you're going to starve to death. because they're going to get
their... Yeah, these people go around buying your junk gold. That's another one.
Right. So they're likened then to scorpions.
Yep, they're scorpions. The scorpions are out everywhere. I mean, they're, you know, that's... I've always thought this is, you know, how you get little impressions in your... when you read something in the scripture, and, you know, Pete's certainly right about the locust. We all understand it. But when I saw that locust of scorpions in Revelation, I always thought, you know, there's scorpions, but in the end days, there's just like a giant swarm of scorpions.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a giant cloud of them. And
yes.
That's what we're seeing.
Oh, no doubt.
And they have to use the winds of the tribulation to move.
Yeah.
They can't move on their own.
Feast of Demons. Absolutely, the Feast of Demons, and it comes back to the little season.
Yeah, it all ties in together, right?
Because if we just take a simple, 20 years ago, this wasn't happening. There was the, what was it, the dot-com bubble? It was the first time that they could really sucker somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, get a, you know, throw in Apple and look how everybody did on Apple, IBM, and Microsoft. And then everybody that didn't get in on that went in on these dot-coms and they got raked.
Yep.
And that's when all the dominoes started falling. Politically, they got the first time that they had hearings, and who's sitting in the dunce chair? John McCain, war hero. With his two buddy bankers that had this hit scheme, you know.
Yeah, right, you're talking about that...
Keating Five.
Yeah, what they call that, the savings and loan scandal?
Yes.
Yeah.
So everybody and their brother got to get a savings and loans and start usury.
Mm-hmm.
And as they used these people up, they had outrageous interest. This was subprime before subprime was even thought of.
Mm-hmm.
So then they
That's
got the
right.
land.
John McCain was right there. You're right. He actually should have been put in jail for that.
Yes. But he was at Chief Scorpion running the show. Now he's look what you've done. Who gets a greater damnation for stealing little old lady's money?
Right.
Stealing food from children. In this generation, there's never been more hungry people. Starving people. They don't care to send them any food. They want to dry it and send it to the Patriots. Send it to Nathan Leal.
Yeah.
He could store it in his garage and sell it on his website.
Yeah.
This whole economic system's caving in, and the only thing that's solid is that 2,000 years ago, a gold piece meant a gold piece, and a silver piece meant a silver piece. Now, if you go in to buy a cup of coffee at Burger King, they give you what last year was a medium coffee, and it's $1.60 when it used to be $1.10.
Right. Yep.
Now that's a wake up call.
Oh, I had a wake up call today. I was buying brass fittings at the hardware store. They used to be 79 cents. They were $2.50 a piece.
Wow.
Oh my gosh! I just about fell over.
This is pre 1938, 1937. This is when everybody's starting to say, "Hey, I can't get a loaf of bread for under, you know, it's $1.99, but last year it was $1.10, and I got three kids, so I got to have three peanut butter and jelly sandwiches two times a day. That's three loaves of bread, and they shrank the packaging.
That's true. They shrank the packaging, right?
So that they can increase the taxes, because you have to buy double. And it's all taxed.
Yep.
I mean, there's a demon sitting in the back room somewhere just saying, I'm going to get all this. Greed. Sloth.
Yeah, the love of money is the root of all evil. It truly is the root of all evil.
Economics 101 for the spiritual. And don't be a bad steward of your house. You have to take care of all kinds of things financially, but... You don't have to steal from anybody. It's just tough out there. This unemployment is, this is the downfall of the United States.
Yeah.
You don't take people out of work and then feed them with, you know, they're certainly not feeding them with IBM's money. They're all hidden in.
They're all on their islands.
Yeah. That they own.
Yeah, even Oprah Winfrey's getting out. So.
What's she doing?
Well, I think she's ending her show or not. She's probably, I don't know, is she going to go to Dubai or whatever? I think most of these people are going to be getting out of the country.
Oh, really?
Sure.
Yeah. You heard that today?
That's well, I didn't hear it today, but I've got wind of it here a few weeks ago.
There's a lot of, you know, you have people that used to have $400,000, $500,000 houses, and they had to make a decision to, you know, let it go. Because they entered into agreements on remortgaging and lost their jobs.
Right.
So the people that were competent, that were always competent in their job, went and they had to move somewhere to get a job, but they got a job. But if you're incompetent to sustain employment at your chosen profession, you're in serious trouble.
That's very true. You're in serious trouble.
Because they're going to choose an Indian engineer over you because he's only $10 an hour.
Exactly.
And
get away with paying them less because they threatened to cease their visa and send them back to India or whatever, see?
Well, it doesn't matter now. They made so much.
So they can break their agreements after they get them over here, actually.
Well, it's not even over here, Bill. These people are
in India too, right? A lot of it's being done over there too, right?
In India, the Indian people are subject to these same in the United States. These headhunters say, "Okay, we're going to get you this job, but you're going to pay us $5 an hour for, you know, the first 5 years."
Absolutely right. It's just like the coyotes bringing the illegals across the border. It's all the same everywhere. Yeah.
Yep.
Hi, buddy. Just scorpion, locust of scorpions.
And it's amazing. It's the analogy that's perfect. It's a perfect analogy for these people.
And you know they couldn't have really got this without this. And Chris has said this on many occasions. Without this fiat money system, that's what really. Was the poison that made everybody turn into a locust or a
yes.
scorpion?
It really built up the military industrial complex to make all this possible. I mean the Federal Reserve was really about one thing: the three world wars. That's what I believe, the ultimate thing, and everything else will come out of that. But yeah, this is absolutely, you guys, this is all going down right now. This new world order is in the open.
Vancouver up here is one of the few places left that hasn't had the tsunami hit yet. It's coming. It's already.
What do you mean?
The housing market tsunami. Vancouver has overcome they are one of the last places to last holdouts. They're still flipping condos here for huge prices like they were in Vegas. I saw it in Vegas. And I'm telling you, I saw it end almost overnight. You know, the people just out flipping and buying condos. And the last guy stuck with it, you know, he loses everything.
Oh, it is musical chairs and there's no seats left.
Right now in Vancouver. And Vancouver is one of the last places they haven't had the economic, housing collapse here yet. It's coming. And their hopes, they put all their hopes are in lies. Their hopes are they say the overscourging scourge of the housing market will surely not come upon us because the Chinese are coming over here and buying up all the property in Vancouver. It's the rich Chinese that are going to save them from the overflowing scourge of the housing bubble flood. If I worded that right. And I said, yeah, that just means your rent's going to double. So I said, if you're paying rent, you know, if that does happen, I said, it's not going to happen. I said, but if it does, your rent's going to double anyway. But, they've made lies their refuge there, and they just think that they're totally immune to this housing crisis that's all the rest in the world. And I said, you know, these derivatives are spread out everywhere. I said Canadian banks are filthy. They're just as filthy as the U.S. bank.
Because that's who they were dealing with on everything. Credit default swaps.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Do you know what those are, Chris?
Yeah.
Just by analogy, it's a block of houses.
That's derivatives, right?
Yeah.
Well, you would just trade it for a box full of, let's say you'd trade a block on the West Coast for a block on the East Coast, a block of houses that the bank owned. But you didn't know what kind of neighborhoods they were in. You didn't know if they were well-maintained properties or they were just run-down wrecks, because both of them were, each house on the block was $400,000. So if you had 10 blocks, you had 4 million, and you didn't know what kind of shape they're in, well, they were probably $20,000 houses, and you could probably got $200,000 in that credit default swap. So in reality, if you sold the, and it's blind because they're all lumped together. If you were lucky enough to sell the $4 million deal, hey, you were fine. But if you were unlucky enough to get the $200,000 when you invested $4 million, you were deceived.
Right.
And once that starts happening, then who falls but the five guys that went to college together that bought a building that was doing pretty good 10 years ago, and they were going to pay it off in 30 years, and now it's empty because they shipped that business overseas. And these poor guys are holding them back because no one will rent the building because no one's investing. And all those swaps went on and on and on. And it's, it only took 10 people to deceive, 30,000 people and sell them different houses at subprime rates. And then the banks have to buy them up. They have to sell them somehow, so they auction them off as packages, credit default swap. And that, you got a bad, you either got Beverly Hills or you got Detroit.
That's very well explained, Bob. Very well explained.
And that's what your economy's riding on right now, buddy. Because all you have to do is drive down your downtown and see how many businesses are out. They're all out. And now you have families that can't go out to restaurants. Because it's not 28, 27, for four people. It's 40.
Yeah. Brutal.
Brutal. Pizza used to be 15. Now it's 25.
Yeah.
So you're right about this entering this economic hardship. It's just like that banker said, if you're working, it's good. If you're not, it's very bad because you're not going to get back to work.
So that means those who are working are going to be paying more taxes then.
Well, that's the Republicans are saying no, we're stopping it right now, and 210 of them out of the 300 something signed an agreement. They're not going to raise taxes because that's what they got elected on. Now we know that they've always lied, but you have things going on now that we're in four wars, and the military-industrial complex is. If you're rich, invest in them because they're making money.
Yeah.
You can invest in worldwide Holocaust.
Yes.
That'll make you sleep good at night.
It's all bad.
Yeah, I think I'm still adamant about the fact Obama's the last president, and I think I don't know how they're going to do it. I think they might get him in for another term. They might keep the thing going until then and then really drop the bomb, or they might do it sooner.
It doesn't matter. That would be too, that would be the kingdom changes hands. It's too big a, it comes without observation. So if you switch around and maybe there isn't some nuclear holocaust and all this is just stops. Because there's no more spiritual sacrifices and all of a sudden out of the east you have a physical manifestation of here comes the Lord. And every knee will bow because they'll all know what's going on.
Well, just as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. They'll be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the
day. Eating and drinking is the false gospel. They're eating and drinking of, they're eating leavened bread, they're drinking muscatel wine, and they're still married to the church.
Yeah. And there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt that the Great Falling Away is so far advanced that if you tried to tell somebody, well, you know, we look at it this way, that there's 20 million pre-tribulation rapturists, and if you even mention the truth to them, they will not hear you. And there's 20 million of this denomination, and they won't hear you. And they can't go and look it up themselves because they've taken the Bibles off the shelf and put up diminished works. When it says don't change any jot or tittle, that's the Lord telling you, don't change any of these things. And I told you far in advance that everything will be upside down, and all the parables are upside down. They mean the absolute opposite of what they were pronounced by the Lord. And if you don't study yourself approved and get a grasp for what the parables mean, you're never going to understand what's going on around you. But it's of the Lord that you don't. Because the tares and the wheat are grown together. But usually the wheat gets overrun by the tares. It's all bad. But it's good news if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. It's great news. It's the greatest thing you ever heard.
Amen.
Because all the analogies say you were blind and now you can see. You were deaf and now you can hear. And what did they do? They just became holy vessels of the Lord. Entered into covenant, mano a mano. The Lord knows everyone's heart. The world doesn't. But you know, under this usury system, that no one's ever seen it on a global scale. It's the pale horse.
Yeah, I believe in the next couple of months we're going to see some major changes. You know, another huge thing going on is Palestine's getting is applied to to become a member of the UN, and they're really pushing for something big in September. And the rapture cult, I just sent you guys an article about it. The rapture cult is all over this, they're absolutely entrenched in this deception with, Obama, supporting the Muslims and all that nonsense. You know what I'm realizing what a, heavy hitter Joe Biden is. He's the one really...
Well, he's the one, yeah, Obama's the empty suit. Even MKL Biden's mind control. Got some,
yeah.
If you look at him speak, he's mind controlled. He's obviously mind controlled when you just watch him give a speech. He's the used car salesman. You ever been to a nude car dealership, and a guy comes out on the floor, and you like a car, and he says, "I got to go back and talk to my boss and see if I can work this." That's Obama.
Oh yeah.
Biden's the guy in the back room.
In the back room.
He comes back out and says, "Okay, we've all had this experience in a car lot."
Oh yeah.
And right now, Obama sells cars. Well. When he can't sell cars anymore, they have to replace him with a new car salesman. Bush couldn't sell cars anymore, so they had to get a new car salesman, and that's what the president is. He's a car salesman. He gets you to buy the vehicle that they're pushing. One of the big vehicle was the healthcare. That was one of them.
Yeah.
And that's all.
And Biden made a nice comment about the health bill. You remember that?
Yep. Yeah, Biden is definitely, just like Cheney was controlling Bush in many ways.
Yeah.
All bad in Babylon.
And Biden's full Zionist.
Yep.
Edomite.
And this still links in with this thing with Glenn Beck coming. And when is that supposed to be?
Now. He's there right now. And they just
right now?
Glenn Beck, a Fox News reporter, is actually talking to the Israeli parliament.
I mean, this is the real deal, folks.
This is the real
this deal. Israel thing. This is where the rubber meets the road.
And it was foretold that the Edomites would grow. The tares are growing. And it doesn't matter if you're, the attributes of what they are likened unto. It doesn't matter what color, what type of person, you know, religion, you know, you're either a tare or you're the wheat. So if you're the wheat and you're seeing this on this level, then you have to come to our Lord Jesus Christ to confirm this. Because he will reveal to you the scriptures that are telling this tale. And it's pray to not be deceived. And it's pray that your house be in order and that you clean up the mess that is of your holy self. You clean the money changers out of yourself. It's the temple of the Lord. Because the, gentlemen, could we discount that the outer court is being trampled?
Daddy? Oh, yeah, the outer court is being trampled, right. That's why they can't see the sign. You know, he says no sign will be given. And, you know, the sign is the covenant with Abraham was the sign. It's circumcision. And if you don't have a circumcised heart, you're not going to see it.
Complete blind. And this is where it's foretold, audience. Matthew 13:36. We're told through Scripture. Then, excuse me one second. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And the most important thing for you, audience, recognize those standing with our Lord Jesus Christ weren't sent away. They were his disciples, and they came unto him in the house. And when you look up, sent away, that's they were sent forth, they cry, they forsake, they lay aside, they leave, they're alone, they omit, they're away, they suffer, they yield up. And that's yielding up to this world, not standing with our Lord Jesus Christ, not going back to our Lord Jesus Christ, going back to his house, and coming unto him, and being prepared in repentance. Because it's the fear of the Lord that gives you the wisdom to see this. You can't tell me that anyone could possibly look at the system 20 years ago and say this is going to happen. It would never be told because the world was a lot different back then. Don't you think, Bill?
Yes, just even since 1990 has been big, big changes. You know, and that's when the part of these big changes came in with these global trade agreements, these treaties, the NAFTA and the WTO and GATT. Made huge changes on a political and economic layer, yes. And obviously even the churches took big downslides from 1990. Not that they weren't already sliding prior to that, but I think this started getting a deeper slide around the late 1880s. Excuse me, 1980s when Bush was elected president. He was actually, you know, as James Lloyd says, he was on a small layer. He was the white horse, and he introduced the one world government there in 1991. And we've seen huge changes just in the 20 years. Yeah.
Yeah, we sure have. I absolutely see those identities, Bill.
Huge changes.
Now they got the president, the pale horse. He'll be whatever you want. You know, you talked about a Republican. Hey, Obama's the guy. He's a man of 1,000 faces.
Well, that's it.
Could he just not become a Republican?
Right. The diverse fourth beast. Well, all he is UN. See, Obama's right. All about the UN. He has absolutely no loyalty to the United States whatsoever.
Right. He's absolutely no loyalty. You're right.
But, you know, what we're, you know, folks, we are just absolutely spellbound by I shouldn't use that word, but just absolutely in awe of the truth concerning the Gog Magog war and, you know, we're studying Joel, and we'll be doing a breakout study on that very soon. But, it's, you know, Joel finishes up with verse 19 in chapter 3. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. And, I mean, this is physical and spiritual, you know, playing out in real time right now. And it's absolutely amazing how this is all coming together. And we see, you know, the spiritual signatures everywhere we look today in the news. And we see all this attention on Palestine and, you know, dividing Israel. And, you know, they are going to come up with something over there that's going to be, I'm not sure what the word is. But it's going to be very, Israel is a burdensome stone. What do you guys, go ahead, Bill.
Well, I think the Pope is going to click his ruby red slippers together.
Yeah.
And they're going to manifest and go home, you know, just like in the Wizard of Oz. It's in your heart. Seek your heart.
The true Israel is undergoing division. Far as the spiritual house of Israel is divided. You know, Babylon is divided, you know, into thirds. Babylon has fallen. You know, Bob, you've got some great insight about Babylon, running the show right now.
And it was foretold in Jeremiah that Jeremiah had to go to the king and say, look, you're going to, this is a word from the Lord. You are going to be by pestilence and by sword, you're going to be overthrown. This is what's happening. So you got to go into captivity. And the king, you know, no way, we're not listening to you. And you know, what we never get back to, gentlemen, is that, you know, a prophet in Israel in the Old Testament, okay, if you didn't come through on your prophecy, you were stoned. There were no carpetbagger prophets. You were killed. So that was the rule of the law. So a great prophet, Jeremiah, comes in and has a history, a life history of being a prophet of the Lord, and tells the king, and the king won't listen to him. Well, they were destroyed. But those that listened to the prophet, Jeremiah, went into captivity. And they kept the ways of the Lord. They did his will while they were in captivity. They didn't mingle.
Amen.
And spiritually in Babylon now, the mingling is so great that we could say you can't go into a church. And it doesn't matter if it's a Buddhist church, a Christian church, a Muslim church. You just can't go into a church because he is not there. And you cannot go anywhere that the Lord is not. And if you are a holy vessel of the Lord, you are built on the chief cornerstone. You're built into this spiritual wall to look at this and be a witness to it. Bill?
Yeah, absolutely.
I just wanted to throw something real quick in there about
right
Jeremiah.
Ahead, Chris. Go right ahead.
I posted this on Facebook this week, and I was feeling it, and so I just put it out there. And I just want to do it right now to our listeners. Anybody, you know, just anybody feeling downtrodden, like I did this week. But I mean, we just have to look at Jeremiah, and you know, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4 says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." You know, Jeremiah was one of the few that was sanctified in his mother's womb. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee as a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And I'm telling you, you know, this is us today. We're speaking the truth into the. We're just speaking the truth, and just like Jeremiah did, and God said, "Be not afraid of their faces." You know, and I just want to say that to the listeners tonight. You know, just don't be afraid of their faces. Just keep putting out the truth the Lord tells you, and be obedient, and hang in there, because the Lord will prevail, and His work. That if He were to tell us what's coming, we wouldn't believe it anyway. But, you know, He has given us a glimpse of it, and it's going to be amazing. And it's going to be amazing pretty soon, because it is absolutely clear this is on the doorstep. And that's it. I just wanted to tie that together with
Joe. You know, those faces you were speaking about is in Revelation 9:7.
What's that, Bill?
Those faces that you were speaking about within Jeremiah there.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me that this week.
It's in Revelation 9:7. Is speaking about the locusts, you know, at the end of that verse it says, and their faces were faces of men.
And yeah.
And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared to battle.
That's right. That's
there's
that's
a it. Guy that listens to our programs, John Moshe, I believe is his name. He put out an interesting... what he has noticed in the scripture, and I have to agree with him from what I've seen, when chariots are in the Bible being pulled by horses, the horses are the scorpions, the chariots are the serpents. Because, you know, in a sense, they're the who's doing the lifting, the scorpions, the horses are pulling the chariot.
Yeah, I and saw
when,
that.
And also, when chariots are in the Bible. And man riding the chariots, then the chariot becomes the scorpion, because he's carrying the serpent. And you know, I started looking through some of the text, and I found that to be true. It's the one that's doing the, you know, that's how tricky some of that stuff is in the text.
Yeah, that helped me a lot.
I don't know if tricky is the right word, but
I mean to think of the serpents as the false teachers, and the scorpions are their followers.
Right, you could almost say in one layer. I think Pete Wilson has stated this in the past also, that the chariots are like the false gospels that the horses pull.
And it's all the diminishment of the word.
Yeah.
Audience, they do not want you to read your Bible. That's it. That's one indication that we're in the very end of the great falling away, is that they're going to teach you what they know. In their 501c church with their idol shepherds, and they're going to lead you into the desert, and you're not supposed to go there.
Right. It says don't go into the desert wherever you go. It says if they say I'm there, I'm not there.
And this is good.
That's your churches. That's the dried up cisterns, the broken cisterns that can hold no water.
They can hold no water.
And on the other hand, we have the secret chambers, huh, you guys?
Yeah, that's the Gnosticism. That's two fact. You can't be. You have to be in one of those two places. There's no third place. If you're not in the dried churches, you're in the secret chambers of the mind, which is Gnosis or Gnosticism. Those are the only two places you can be. Then there's two factions of evil right there in that verse.
And if you look at it this way, audience, it's...
Two parts cut off, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth, you led through the fire.
And it's told in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Yep.
So our Lord knew, in his generation, who the serpents and scorpions were. And
yeah.
And he taught his apostles to teach us.
And Revelation 17:17 says, for God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of the Lord shall be fulfilled. I mean, this is all for God's purpose. Go ahead, Bob. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to butt in there.
No, it's not butting in at all. It's confirming the truth.
It's all for God's purpose. You know, like Pete said tonight, too, about the demons. The demons are following orders. And they are there for God's purpose. You know, the demons that are inhabiting even the Christians, even the elect, are for God's purpose. It's absolutely startling. But I know, you know, it's true.
And it comes down to a simple analogy that they've given falsely. It's the wheat and the tares. And who sowed the tares? Well, that's the devil sowing false doctrine. But not only that, out of the pit comes thousands or millions and millions of locusts that are likened unto Satan.
That's right. He says, you're like your father, the devil, and of his lusts you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. They're just like their daddy.
And on one level, you can't go preaching that, oh, you're full of demons because...
No.
What do you know? But you're told through Scripture that our Lord and his apostles cast out demons. Now, that's a fleshly interpretation, but spiritually, it is all of the Lord. And if you seek ye him, you will understand this. And he will clean your temple. He will circumcise your heart. No man can do this. No man can mark you with the mark of God. No man can see this. They can't even see that the false doctrines.
Right, they can't even see that far. Yeah, Pete understands it extremely well. Maybe sometime in the future he'd like to come on and we could talk about that subject and that subject only, because he's got a better handle on it than anybody that I know of around.
Absolutely. Chris?
Oh, man, this is just absolutely amazing the way this is manifesting. You know, our Revelation 17 study has kind of been sidetracked a little bit here, but I'm just there right now with so much of what we're talking about. You know, in Revelation 17:13, it talks about, you know, the kings, I see it as the collective beast, and they have one mind. And shall give their power and strength unto the beast. You know, and this is clearly what's taking place out there with this brainwashing machine that has been diligently controlling the minds of the lost through this last 60-year pale horse reign that we've, you know, shown so clearly, the pale horse study and all of its manifestations. But you know, this is what we're dealing with today. And it's the deception. This is God's judgment for God's purpose. They have one mind. This is all part of God's plan. You know, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. You know, but this is happening real time right now in the spirit. And there's these fleshly manifestations, you know.
That war is the Gog and Magog war right there.
For sure it is. Absolutely.
And audience, to study yourself approved, you need to know what a beast is. The simple analogy of a beast, the ensample, the parable of the beast, and what is the attributes of this beast. Well, in Scripture, it's found when you search Scripture that it means it's venomous, it's wild, it's a beast. It's also likened unto a wild animal as game. It's likened unto hunting. In the context of Scripture, this word beast, by all analogies, is bad. And it's a trap. It's a snare. So these people that would be, that our Lord would, if they would turn to our Lord Jesus Christ, repent of their sins, enter into covenant, these powers, and their strength in Christ, they'd be mighty in the spirit. And the Lord would be fighting their spiritual battle, but they give their power to the beast. And the beast is just, he's Satan. And he just deceives. He's a liar. And he wants to lie to you at every turn as you go through your journey to enter into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. Chris?
Revelation 17:10, and there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space.
That's the little season there?
That's the little season. The five are fallen. These are the five Christian kingdoms since the cross. The one is the kingdom we're in now, the sixth, that is, you know, right now at the threshold of the martyrs and the manifestation of the kingdom of God, which is the seven, the kingdom of heaven, you know, is where we are right now, folks, as this thing is building. And what happens? The eighth kingdom comes out of the seventh. It comes out of the seven because the seventh kingdom is actually the culmination of the previous six. And, you know, we can get into that, but it's the, you know, the Christian kingdoms post-cross that have, you know, risen and fallen. And we've gone into this over and over. Most significantly are the last, the fourth, the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, the white horse, red horse, black horse, meaning the British Empire, the white horse, the black horse, the Nazi Empire, the Russian Bolshevik Empire. The sixth is where we are right now, transitioning in real time, because the pale horse, beast kingdom, has corrupted the covenant with flatteries, 60 solid years of control, and this thing is open for business. And at the same time of this captivity and this police state and every manifestation that we can connect, we're going to see the manifestation of the kingdom of God as these forces, as Joel's army comes against God's army. And as you know, this is the Gog Magog event, as Gog and Magog, two factions of evil against the saints, the remnant elect. And as we see the man-child, you know, the birth pangs of the man-child being born right now, real time, as these mm-hmm. events are increasing in intensity and fervency. Is that a word? You know what I mean. And this is happening now. And we don't really, we're seeing the perdition and the kingdom of heaven going into perdition. But people don't realize that how critical this juncture is, because we are at the mark of the beast time. We are at the decision time, the decision to come out of the harlot religious system that is linked with the beast government, because the seven goes into perdition. I mean, and the ten horns, which thou sawest, are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as of yet, but received power as kings for 1 hour with the beast. And to back up, I'm sorry, I wanted to go to ten.
I was going to ask you a question about ten.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bill. I just lost my place here. I had to go back to eight. The beast that that thou sawest. Now, don't forget, folks, this is the beast that John saw as he had his experience, you know, in the wilderness, and he saw the harlot when he was carried away in the spirit into the wilderness, and he saw the woman sitting on the scarlet-colored beast. We see this as, you know, our eyes, spiritual eyes have taught us to see, these cryptic truths. But there's so much right here as far as the way you cannot see the harlot church when you're in the harlot church. Right? It's just so funny because I thought about that saying that
you have to be carried away in the spirit.
Yes, you do. And it's like so ironic, that simple saying, you can't see the forest from the trees. But mm-hmm. the metaphoric understanding of that, when we see the forest and the trees as the multitude, the apostate church, you can't see the apostasy while you're a forest, in the forest, while you're a tree in the forest. You have to get out. So I don't know where that saying came from, but the profound metaphoric truth that's in that, you can't see the forest from the trees. You know, as the hail comes down upon the forest and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field becomes a forest. You know, these are all metaphors for the transition that we're in right now as the kingdom of God goes into perdition. And the beast that was not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, which they beheld the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. That's it for now, Bill. Go ahead and jump in.
Oh, and there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. I was going to ask you, and the other is not yet come. How do you understand
that? I see that as the eighth, the woman riding the beast, you know, the new world order that will control the manifest beast government that will reign for a short space, a short season.
And audience, I was going to say, if you continue on in Revelation 17:14, audience, these, that is the under the beast, that have given everything they have to the beast and not the Lord Jesus Christ, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful.
There they are.
Now,
that's
the
triune matrix to salvation right there.
And your salvation lies in the fact that you were called, audience. You were invited to this. You were invited by the Lord to study yourself approved, to seek the mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ through this gospel. And it's calling that you study yourself approved, so you understand this. And chosen. Chosen is selected, by implications, favorite, chosen. It's to make a choice. It's to make a choice in the matter of your lives and who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve Satan and give your powers and all the works that the Lord will provide you to do his will? Or are you going to give them to the flesh? And the faithful is...
Esau or Jacob,
and continue on with the faithful audience, it's trustworthy. Trustful, believing, faithful, sure and true. So you've studied yourself approved, you're shocked, because so many people are in deception that you just can't, you can't even go to your neighbor and sit down and discuss this. You're alone, and period.
When you come, this is the process, though, the called, chosen, and faithful. This is the parable of the sower. That, you know, some, because we believe all are called. Many
right.
are called.
Romans 20 chosen. Verifies that. Romans 1:20, you can find that. That is the Godhead that's spoken of. Godhead's three times in the Bible, all in the New Testament. Romans 1:20 speaks of the Holy Spirit when it's referring to Godhead there. And it says, no one will be without excuse. It says, the invisible things of God are clearly seen.
And we see that, you know, the called is the seed that fell, that fell. And, mm-hmm. you know, this is what happens. This is the process. Many have a born-again experience. They have an encounter with the living God, the Holy Spirit. And it's after that is where the problems lie. Because... they go back to the flesh Babylonian church system, and it feeds the flesh. And this is the you know, the parable of the sower, where the seed falls on rocky soil.
And what does he say about that? He says because it not get much moisture. That means it didn't get any Holy Spirit.
Didn't get any Holy Spirit. Didn't get any living water.
It went back to the house of ill repute, where there is no moisture.
Where you're thirsting.
Yeah.
You know, you're not getting quenched. Your thirst's not getting quenched by the fountains of living water, that is Jesus Christ. But the ones that do take root, are chosen. And then those that continue, that endure to the end, are faithful. This is it. This is salvation right there. Called and chosen and faithful. And it's enduring to the end are the ones who are saved.
And who's
but 2 out of 3 won't get it.
Here, audience, is who's not saved. Romans 1:21. Because that, when they knew God, this is that fell on the on the rocks and fell in the sun. The people that knew God, when they picked up their Bible and they got peace. They found peace with Jesus Christ. Because that's what happened when you enter into covenant, you find peace. They glorified him not. Okay, they stopped everything. They got a hold of dispensationalist teaching, rapturism, and they were going to preach everything, and they stopped glorifying the Lord. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, into birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, and to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, metaphorically speaking, audience, it's as rich a scripture as you could have to identify all the bad things that are happening. Yeah, these people are turned into fools in the church.
It says they make an idol out of Jesus in there. I mean, you know, it doesn't say that in their words, but that's what they do. They make an idol out of Jesus instead of belief on him. It's what they perceive to be a god in their mind.
And if they knew the truth of what they were doing, they'd stop.
Yeah.
But it's not for them to know because they're changed into fools.
Because that was 121 of Romans you were reading, Bob? Chapter 121?
124.
124. Yeah, that comes shortly after 120 where it says that none are without excuse. The Holy Spirit calls everyone. You know, the truth is there. You know, it's those who receive not the love of the truth.
And God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And when you look up reprobate, it's cast away. It's worthless. It's rejected.
Yep.
And that mind is not the mind in Christ we just talked about. Daddy? That's the mind of a human. That's the mind of their own
that's
selves.
That's the carnal mind. That's the carnal mind, yeah. Which is at enmity with the Lord.
And we're told, and this was this Luann?
Yeah.
Now, audience, we encourage posting because we know that you're going to be gifted with anything that you study yourself approved. And we have a post from Luann. And I'll paraphrase it. The difference of the two groups of people who the Lord has poured out his spirit on, the your group, flesh and carnal multitude, and the my, spiritual group, the remnant, prophet in both Old Testament and New Testament, are the same word, whether false or true prophet. And here's the defining of this, audience. Peter's speech seems to change from the multitude to the remnant. His thought goes from one group to the other in the same speech. Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And what Luann has broken down the scripture is she's taken the Joel of the Old Testament multitude as an identifier. Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and that's carnal audience, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. But under the context of this and the usage of the scriptures and the predominance of this word, It means your, and it is from or concerning you, ye, you, your own selves. So the scripture that she's talking about in Joel is that, that when they fall away, they are going to take the prophecy of themselves, not the Lord. In the Old Testament prophecy, the inspiration that is from Joel, the prophet, is a primitive root. It's to prophecy that is speak or sing by inspiration in prediction or simple discourse. Prophecy makes self a prophet. So the perfect example of the prophets being used by God, Jeremiah 14:14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophet's prophecy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing not, and the deceit of their heart. So we go back to the New Testament audience. Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants, and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And there's the difference, the subtle difference, audience.
And how many people have caught that? And we just have to be, you know, I'm just so grateful for the team and our dear sister, Luann, that the Lord just, you know, revealed that to. Because, it was just amazing how it all came about. Because I was studying this myself with no connection with Luann. I mean, Luann and I talk from time to time, but I had no idea she was doing this. And it was just so huge because when you read through these books, you have to just be very tuned into the identity.
It shifts Who's gears this? Very quickly.
They shift gears so fast. And that's how you have to read this. Because
you were into racing, so you probably knew that on these short
stories. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. But I was saying we need, like, different colored dots to put on different portions of the sentence. You know, and it's so, we've known it. But it's getting to the point now where we need to look at this stuff with our microscope, and it's amazing because God is revealing himself to us.
But I'd like to comment a tiny bit about the third hour there that Peter is speaking of.
Yeah.
Well, obviously he's rebuking those that come on a physical layer, saying that these men are not drunken, but the third hour, which would have been 9 o'clock in the morning. So how can they be drunk? It's only 9 in the morning. But what he's really saying there spiritually, the third hour of the day, that's when Jesus went on the cross. This was the first pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Jesus went on the cross at the third hour of the day. And it ended at the ninth hour of the day. And that's where we're going to end, is at the ninth hour of the day. When all the flesh is killed in the last 2,000 years, whoever dies to Christ, that's going to be the end of it. But that was the first pouring out, and that was the third hour of the day. That's when Christ went on this cross.
And dark means always dark, audience. The darkest part of the day is coming, when the light won't shine. So the third hour of the day it was given, we've transgressed through the hours of the day till we're in darkness.
Yep. Well, at the sixth hour of the day, remember the darkness moved over, I forget, at the cross. That they had, that's when they had the eclipse or whatever, which would have been at 12 noon it came, the darkness. And, the darkness is fully, we're in full eclipse now.
Well, that's Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising.
There it is right there. They just tell the fullness of the Gentiles be come in.
There it is. This is the end times, and this is the last days, and it's the fullness of the Gentiles. And this is the heathen. When the last of the heathen come to the gospel. When the last of the heathen arise to the gospel. And this is happening right at the same time that the church is in apostasy, that blindness in part has happened to Israel.
Spiritual Israel, audience. Spiritual Israel.
Spiritual Israel.
And you're told about this. This is Luke 4:17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. And we follow this from Isaiah 61. This is the Lord announcing his reign. But remember, audience, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them were in the synagogue fastened on him. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ opened the book announcing this, and he closed the book. So all these doctrines of demons want to tell you to look for something. Look to the north. Look for a UFO. Look to giants. Look to this
manifestation. Actually, the aliens are addressed right there in Isaiah 61, Bob.
They are, Bill. You want to explain that?
I'd like to speak on that for just a moment. If you would...
Very important audience.
Allow me. Yeah, thank you very much. And I have a bad habit of interrupting, so... It's just one of those things I got to work on.
It's hard right now with so much stuff coming in.
You know what it is? It's because my short-term memory is so bad. And I go, if I don't get it out.
We got to say it before we forget it.
Down notes. Like, I still have a question for you on Revelation 17:10 yet, but we'll wait till this is we're finished in here.
All good, Brother Bill. Take
your time. And the strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien, that's them, that's the serpents and scorpions, shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. That's the aliens right there. They're under your feet. You're treading on serpents and scorpions. See, most people view that verse 5 as being in the future millennial reign, where you're going to find where God's saints are going to rule with an iron hand over this. No, you're ruling. These people are your plowmen and vine dressers right now. That's how. Actually, you're formed, he says, until Christ be formed in you. When you go through tribulation and these devils and stuff that they see, these are the aliens, and you keep them under your feet. They're your plowmen and they're your vine dressers. Those are the aliens.
It's anything to deceive you, audience. This is the deception game, is to take your soul.
The aliens were serving Paul. Paul, he got beatings, he got abused, he got put in jail. Those strangers fed his flocks. How did they feed his flocks? Because 2,000 years later, we're reading of the works that Paul done through the Lord Jesus Christ, and more Christians are coming to light, and more Christians are being saved. That's how those strangers and aliens were serving Paul, even though they were putting Paul in prison.
It is the time not to worry about the flesh, those that could kill you, but those that could kill your soul. And you need to be armed in the spirit for this, with the armor of Ephesians 6. And you can only do that by repenting of your sins and going directly to Lord Jesus Christ yourself. No one has the power. Everybody's looking for some grand power, and they're going to be a leader of something. Well, you're a follower, audience. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and he leads. Because those that have said they are wise are now fools. And they indoctrinate you with flatteries. And they want you in their church to take your money to provide for them whatever they need. Because they'll lie in wait for you. They'll invite you to some church function. You'll see everything's happy-go-lucky, but that church is dominated by serpents and scorpions. And that's not to say that the wheat and the tares grow together.
Right. There's a great wheat crop in them places, no doubt.
But if you don't know the analogies, you will not understand the scriptures. Because
there's a big crop. There's a big harvest coming.
Right. Jesus said, if you didn't understand this parable, you won't understand the others. You know, and like Sue Patterson says, put it, she termed it, if you read this, you'd think it was a farmer with a bad wheat, wheat problem.
Yeah. and it's.
Or a bad wheat crop.
And outside of. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. Isaiah 60, verse 5, you know, right after what I just read about the darkness, you know, it's this gross darkness, but, you know, the Lord shall arise, and then shalt thou see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. So there's the sea. And, you know, what have we been saying the sea is, Bill, in Revelation, and the Gentiles? I mean, it's the it seems the sea is Israel and the Gentile and the forces of the Gentiles. So it's like, you know, this is huge here. I mean, the metaphoric signatures.
Well,
here.
He cast his net into the sea, right?
Yeah.
And they brought them up on the dock, and they put the good fish into vessels and pass the bad ones away. They cast the
right, the abundance out of the whole house of Israel.
Yep.
And then the forces of the Gentiles that come in. You know, that's in here. You know, it's something that I'm still struggling with, and you know, and the Lord will bring. But the way that the blindness in part, which I see as the apostasy in the church, is for the purpose of provoking them to jealousy. So I'm wondering how that's going to manifest as, you know, possibly as the church, the dead churches start seeing the remnant actually, you know. Huh.
I think some of that's spoken about in the eye salve in the Bible.
It was our Lord Jesus.
Talking about putting the salve on your eyes.
Right.
The healings,
yeah.
The parables, the analogies, the examples of the Bible, audience, are you will have recollection of Scripture to identify because you've studied it. You're in covenant with our Lord. He sends the Holy Spirit to reveal this to you. No man can reveal this to you.
No.
Let no man deceive you. This is something you have to do on your own because it's to do the will of the Lord. And they don't want you to know this. They want you in every single doctrine of demons except the gospel. Bill?
Yeah, these fullness of the Gentiles come in. They're the multitudes of Laodicea, Chris.
Yeah.
Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. That's the attitude of the church today.
Right.
And have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. There's
Amen.
Five things listed. There's five there. That means he's going to have grace on them. Even though they're wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked, he's going to have grace on them. And then verse 18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. That's the fullness of the Gentiles come in.
Amen.
I'm talking about in the end version of it today. You know,
we're
in the Lost of the Odyssey version now.
Right now, yeah.
You know, I wanted to ask you quickly, Chris. I took a note down here about Revelation 17:10 when we were discussing.
Uh-huh.
And it says, the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. We'll find that same terminology in Revelation 13:5. And it says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power given unto him to continue.
Right.
That word continue, 42 months. Both of those verses, 17:10 and 13:5, use that word continue into what is obviously the little season.
Yeah.
One says a short space, the other says, but what I find so interesting, and James Lloyd pointed this out to me, it says power was given unto him to continue for 42 months. So you know, maybe they already voted in the power already, I guess.
Yeah, well, this beast Power has definitely been active.
Power. Sure. So he's going to continue on for another little season.
Yeah, that's very profound, Bill. I know we've talked about that once before. Mm-hmm. And what does that actually mean, you know, that he can continue as opposed to begin his reign of terror for a short space? You know, because, you know, how many people realize that the Beast Kingdom has been in control for a long time?
Evil just kind of, you know, it just grows and it grows and it grows. So, you know, it's going to be allowed to grow a little bit larger, I guess.
Yeah, it's
that's
really
because there is no satisfaction in evil. You know, it's there is absolutely no satisfaction in evil. It's just madness.
And the madness is of the Lord. Mm-hmm. It is His giving.
Well, He sends it, yes.
And we're entering into a time, audience, where, you know, our current events are this economic issue. No one's ever seen an economic issue like this.
No.
Yeah, well, Tim Geithner said that the Keynes economics doesn't work today.
Oh, yeah, thanks. He finally figured that out. After how many years of college, years of forever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth, I guess he finally came to the knowledge of the truth.
Yeah.
On that subject.
But the real problem is with that is, why are they saying it?
Yeah, why are they saying it, right?
Why are they saying it on mainstream? And it's because this thing's about ready to come down. That's why.
Right.
So, folks, just get your house in order.
They're saying here, they all wanted to drive the Titanic, right?
Yeah.
And now they're saying, no, you take the wheel.
They are bailing like rats on a ship.
Yeah, that's right. They're bailing like rats.
Bailing, yeah.
Boy, Geithner and rat. There's a strong corollary. Geithner and rat.
Yeah, real time, folks. This thing is absolutely upon us, and they've got everybody pumped up. You know, corrupting with flatteries that the recovery's slowing down, but it's okay. Everything's
it's okay,
fine.
Right? Yeah.
They have no idea what's going on.
Take another blue pill. Is the blue one the good one or the bad one? I can never remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
Take another sleeping pill.
But we just need to come out of this whole system, flee to the wilderness, the metaphoric wilderness, which is the truth, stand in the truth, have your loins girded with truth, and stay tightly locked into Jesus' yoke. And walk alongside Him. Walk at His pace. And that's where our
don't
safety
put the,
is.
Don't put the cart before the horse.
That's right. And, maybe throw a couple bags of beans and some silver in the basement.
Yeah.
But don't trust it. But it's not a bad idea.
Doesn't hurt to have
Yeah, we're in perilous times. We're in perilous times. And I just see that the rendering of, just as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. And I see that right now. I see that is speaking about the time right now. Absolutely right now. Because it's going to be, I'm still of the mind that there's going to be something quick and mind-blowing. Does happen.
Actually, you said something very interesting there by something quick, and Chris. He used two examples. It's not by accident. I think that's in Luke 17. He used two examples, two factions of evil. He said it'll be as in the days of Noah and it'll be in the days of Lot.
Yeah.
And,
right.
The days of Lot, yeah, it's... They were all drinking and living it up, and it came upon them just that fast, you know, and it was, you know, just turned into smoke as Lot's wife looked back, you know. And
who came, audience? The angels came. And
yep,
who's
the
reapers
yep.
in the parables? That's the angels. Now, if we're told that this will come without observation, well, boy, is that the truth or not?
Boy.
I mean, because there's a minority of people studying the gospel.
The kingdom of God comes not with observation, right?
It's you're not going to see it with the flesh eyes. It's not going to come like they're talking about this new planet Nebo or whatever.
Yeah.
And
well,
and,
unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God.
Right. Or solar flares for 100 million miles. It's going to scorch the Earth, or Planet X, or X meteor, or 50 volcanoes going off all at the same time. That's all flesh. That's all they're looking. It's not going to come that way. You know, Jesus came and gone. The whole church system didn't know it. He came and went, and the whole church system. I'm not saying there wasn't multitudes there. I'm not saying people didn't see it. I'm talking about the church didn't see it. The Pharisees never caught. He came and went, and they didn't see it.
Nope. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine that?
Yeah.
And here we and hey, it's happening right now again.
Yep.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine that the religious system is missing this?
That's right.
I can't.
And
I guarantee you it's going to repeat exactly the same way.
Yeah, it already is.
The Christian Pharisees will not see this, or the Christian Sadducees. The Sadducees are the scorpions. The Pharisees are the serpents. You know, he said, beware of the doctrine of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, he told
right.
them.
Right.
And, you know, and that doctrine is, you know, he says, beware of the leaven of the doctrine, he says, excuse me. Beware of the leaven of the doctrine. And we see the doctrine is gone, man.
It's been overturned.
Yeah.
It's been absolutely overturned. Audience, we're told in Isaiah 24:5, the earth also is defiled. Remember, there was a flood on the entire earth. So this is not that judgment begins at the church, audience, because that's a well underway. Because they are fools. They are following doctrines of demons. Under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Now that's everlasting covenant, audience. The everlasting truth, the word of God. And they changed the ordinance.
Yeah, they frameth mischief in the law.
It's the truth. This is what's happening right now. The gentleman we mentioned, Mr. Geithner, has taken pension funds, people that have worked their whole lives, but he's no different than the people that give abortions. See, they're all bad. And I can't judge him, and maybe he will repent and come to the truth. But to know him by his fruits, it's all bad, scripturally. Because they have, in the churches where judgment begins, have changed the ordinance of God. But they don't preach Jesus Christ, him crucified.
Absolutely, they do not. That's where they've framed mischief. And you know, it's very few people are teaching repentance and Jesus Christ crucified. They're teaching almost every other form of ear-tickling prosperity that you can imagine.
And the good news of all this, audience, before we go to Chris, any closing thoughts?
I'm done, Bob. I'm going to let you wrap it up, and I just wanted to say this. Thanks to everybody. And, you know, we love you, and we're all in this together, and it's exciting.
Bill?
Oh, man. Yes. My sentiments are the same. Yes, we ask that God open everyone's eyes and bless a spiritual Israel, and we should all come to the truth, and none should perish. And, you know, we don't know who's going to wake up out there. That's why we're not supposed to pull up chairs. And God is, you know, all things are possible in God. It's just all things are possible.
Well, thank you both. In closing, audience, Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Seek ye him, audience. Seek ye him. This is Bob Garrity for Chris Ardern and Bill Johnson. Good night. We didn't even get a beginning on that, did we?